Welcome to this episode of YPAL's Tales from the Superyacht Laundry. I am joined today by the gorgeous Lorna Dilietto. Hi, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
I wanted to get you on because you are one of those very unusual ladies that works in technology. You work for Computer Network Defence. We were just talking about it before this recording started, how that's quite easy to roll off the tongue.
or not.
So we call it CND for short. So you ended up working in technology, which I always find fascinating because I constantly repel technology and it breaks for me and most of the time doesn't want me to use it. How are you doing? I've been looking forward to getting you on the podcast.
It's been a while. Obviously we started talking about this 10 months ago. That's how old he is now, so I was meant to come on before the baby, but now I'm here with a baby.
Planets didn't align, but he's here and he's gorgeous, so congratulations.
Thank you so much. And I think everybody else is surprised I'm in tech as well, because I'm just like you. So it's a shock for everyone.
that makes me feel good. It really does. It
means there's hope for us all.
There is hope for us all. Well, mostly one hope. So we met for the first time at the Southampton event.
That's right. Great event. That was brilliant.
You were like proper moved by it, weren't you? You really enjoyed it.
It was powerful. I couldn't believe how many people attended. And it was so nice. I mean, just on my table alone, the 10 women, they all had such a nice story. And they were lovely as well. Everyone was just so open and honest. It was a really good event. I loved that. I wish I could have gone to more.
Well, no, there are more on the horizon. Just haven't done one this year, but we're supposed to be doing one next year. But it was, that the Southampton one was kind of when we moved up a gear and we really fine-tuned what we were about, kind of getting ladies together. Because, we talked about it, there's a bit of isolation in the beginning when you're kind of stepping out of the yachting industry. But before we go into that, what were you doing before yachts came into your life?
What was I doing before?
Mm-hmm.
So how did I get into yachting? I was working for a rope manufacturing company in the south of England.
That sounds really exciting.
I know. I think I was the most boring person in the world. But
rope for what? Rope for what? Like what kind
for
of rope?
For all sorts. So, but I was on the maritime leg. So I was looking after bespoke ropes for racer yachts. So two yachts would race each other, like Artemis and Matador. They'd race each other every weekend and they'd come to us with different requests to make them go a bit quicker or make them go a bit, I don't know. I don't know what they were doing. I'll be honest, I had no idea where I was sending these ropes or what it was about. So when I went on a business trip with my then manager, I remember turning up in Antibes and seeing the super yachts for the first time. And I was like, what's that? What's going on? And he explained, and he was like, oh, we don't really deal with them because they do dock lines. They're not really like sail yachts or anything like that. And I just remember seeing a girl walking along with a tray on the outside. And I was like, what's she doing? He was like, oh, she'll be crew. And I was like, oh, I can make tea. In my head, I was like, I can make tea. I could do that. I'm getting on there. So I came away not quite fully understanding what was going, what it was all about and who was who. So I went to a race team in France saying, can I be your stewardess? Can I make tea for you? And I remember going over to meet them. It was at the Paris Boat Show. And I went over and I was like, hi, I'm Lorna. I've been emailing you. I want to join your boat. And he just grabbed my bicep and was like, no. And I was like, sorry? And he was like, no. And I was like, oh, I just want to make tea. And he was like, no, we need strong people. We need like we need athletes. And I was like, oh.
That's
And I was
a
thinking that girl didn't look like an
brutal.
athlete. Oh, it was brutal. But then I realized that super yachts is a totally different category to sail yachts. So sorry.
So like they literally let you go all the way out there because you said you wanted
Yeah.
to make like
I
did they
don't
ask if you have any sail experience?
No, to be fair, this was all before like teams and things like that. So there wasn't much communication other than me being very like positive and I can do anything. So yeah.
You're quite an impulsive person because that's quite like how old were you when you were doing this?
That was like 23, so 23,
23.
24. Yeah, I don't know. To be fair, I was just like determined. Once I'd seen that girl, I was determined to do whatever, but not fully understanding anything. And
Clearly.
then, clearly, exactly. You'll see a running theme on this. Then I realized I had to get my STCW, and I didn't have any money to like even get the course because they were like £1,000 or 1,500, and everything I got paid went on rent and things like that. So I remember going to the bank and being like, I'll get a loan out. And in the bank, there was one of the guys I used to go to school with. And he was like, Lorna, and we were chatting away. And I was telling him, I want to go and work on these yachts. I'm going to do this course. I'm going to go and get a job out in south of France. And he said to me, he was like, I'm going to pretend you didn't say any of that and that you're going to buy a car and stay at the company you are, because it was like a huge risk for the bank to give me a loan.
No
So thank God he did,
way.
and thank God it was with him that meeting. Because he did.
Wow.
The next day I had the money in my account and I went and did it. And then I dock
That's
walked.
oh my God, that's like fate, isn't it? Like you literally were like, you can't say that.
Was literally like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just gonna go out to France. And he was like, whoa, no, Lorna.
That's
yeah.
amazing. That's
Yeah, it was pretty
amazing.
mad. So then, yeah, I went out and dock walked like the originals.
The originals. Oh, does that mean I'm an original?
Yeah,
Yes.
we're the OGs, the ones that actually dock walked.
Although to be fair, I probably did it 3 times. I got really bored. Because I was so
Really?
close. Yeah, no, I was like, what, why are we doing this? Like that, I thought that's what the recruiters, why I went into these recruitment companies to be looked down on and spoken to like I'm an imbecile. Like I thought that was the gateway kind of thing,
Yeah.
rather than, walking around
Oh
to
no,
face more.
I got the raw deal and went to the boats and got spoken to like that.
Did
Oh
you
dear.
travel before you kind of ended up in like France or?
Yeah, so I moved to France when I was a young girl. We had a bed and breakfast as a family out in France from the age of 12. And then as soon as I finished my studies, I went off and travelled and didn't want to come home. So I already had that bug. So yeah. So when I came home and started getting an office job, I was like very itchy feet. I was like, oh.
Well, also, like, I suppose it kind of explained your non-fear because, you'd already experienced France. It's not an intimidating place for you. So, like, it makes complete sense.
Yeah, that's true. That's
You to
really
be a bit
true.
braver and doing it because otherwise, you would have come across a bit of a lunatic if you'd never been to anywhere. You're like, okay, that makes sense now that you're obviously, you're already exposed. It's just the detail and getting the job. So, how long did it
Yeah.
take you to get a job?
How long was it? So it wasn't long at all. I think it was a couple of weeks. And my first job was in Fontvieille. I'm going to forget all the names now, but it was in Fontvieille. And I was living out of a car. So I wasn't in the hostels or anything like that. I was parking up and just sleeping in the back of a car and then doing the dock walk. And the first job was they weren't going to pay me, but I could live on board if I just tidied the kitchen and made some food. And that was it. And I loved it. And that was like a week of that. And then I got my first proper job. So it was good. It was beneficial.
No, that's really good. Like, so you get free accommodation to out the gate. That's, at the end of the day, in the beginning, you just got to get on board and do anything, a day,
That's it.
few hours, even if it's, I mean, I some of the boys get, when they have to do I do feel for them when it's the initial time of trying to get work on board and they just get horrible, horrible jobs.
Girls,
it's always, a little bit, you know, the amount of, you know, you can go into the bilges and like the boys are down in the bilges cleaning stuff and engine rooms. I'm like,
this is it. It's actually, yeah, you're right when you put it like that. It's a bit more scary, isn't it? Because they're going into all these enclosed spaces and like,
they could be given some really rough jobs to do, you know. There are some.
Yeah, I had a cupboard to wipe out. I mean, that's not that rough, is it? When you look back, no, she did all right.
Not really. I don't even know what that comes out now.
Oh, I definitely don't now. I'm the worst shoot ever.
So, like, obviously, this is, it's all new to you. First job on board, like, was it a big, what kind of vessel were you on to start with?
It was like a 30 meter, so it wasn't too big. I was in the kitchen. My parents are chefs, so it's not daunting to me to be in a kitchen, but I definitely am not a chef. But what they wanted was more for like crew, so it was easy food, just healthy, clean food. But I do remember the owner came on, and the captain was like, can you make me a cake? And I was like, what? I was thinking, oh my God, I don't, yeah, okay, I'll make a cake. So I was like, and obviously it's not my galley, so I didn't go shopping. I'm like getting bits from all the other chefs they've had on board. And I made this cake, and I remember like it going out and like me texting my dad and being like, you won't believe I've just made a cake for the owner. And he was like so proud.
So
was it yeah, edible? It was. Yeah, to be fair, the captain came back with an empty plate and I was like, oh my God, he ate it. And he was like, no, I just threw it over the side. And I was like, oh, but he's joking. He was joking.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So, you know, slotted into life on sea quite easily.
Yeah, then that was long? It. What on the ocean? Wow. God, do you know what? I think I've got like some sort of number I don't know. I'm dyslexia because I don't remember the dates of when I started on things, but I think I was away for about 4 years on my first proper boat. And then I did a few temp jobs and kind of went home. And then I left the industry and then I went back, as everyone does, to get more money. But yeah, no, I was with one incredible family for a long time. That was my first proper boat and they really looked after me. I've actually been very lucky with who have owned the boats, and my land-based jobs have always had really nice bosses. I've always picked really good places to work, so I haven't wanted to leave.
Oh,
so I've been quite lucky.
You're a good, reliable crew member.
Yeah.
When you left the first time, what was your thinking behind? Well, when you attempted to leave the industry the first time,
yeah, attempted. Choice of words. the first time actually it was a family thing. So, my sister's little boy wasn't very well. So it was like immediate that I wanted to go home and just be supportive and be there. But actually it was my first mate that pulled me back onto the boat. And he said to me, he was like, okay, look, I know what's going on is actually really horrific and you want to be home, you want to be with your sister. But he said, think of it this way, you're bringing in money and you could be a financial help and support to your family. And he was speaking from his heart and from previous experience. And do you know what? It was the best advice he could have given me, because then I was able to, like, you know, I could fly back whenever I needed to. I could pay for things. I mean, I actually didn't need to in the end, because the UK is so wonderfully set up for, you know, with the NHS and what have you, and charities and stuff. So, yeah. So I did try and leave for that, but I got pulled back by the first mate for that reason. And just generally, I just didn't settle back at home. I think one of the hardest things was you had all these like fabulous stories and wonderful things that you've done, and coming home and you almost start muting yourself. I don't know if you found this, but I was like, I couldn't even say stories because they just sounded too extreme or too wild and wacky that I just was so unrelatable. I don't know what the word is. I can't even think of it, but I just had no
Self-editing is a thing. I mean, we've spoken about it with lots of individuals. You know, that's one of the reasons why the events have always gone really, really well when you get a group of ex-crew members together, because you don't have to edit. And you don't realise how much you are editing until you are back with crew, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to sound like a show off, you know, when you're trying to integrate into people, like, oh, when I was in St. Bart's, or, you know, I was in Monaco this time. And I've told this story a few times, you know, telling a friend about a time in Monaco where I was not happy at all, like having a really, really rough time. But as soon as I said Monaco, did you see any celebs?
Oh,
did you, you know, like you can't, it's like in their mind, possibly be having the worst time of your life in Monaco, because it's Monaco, you should be drinking Aperol Spritz on the back of a boat. And you're like, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you do tweak, I suppose. You tweak, you numb it down, you kind of pull out the bits that you think might, you know, throw through.
That's it.
You, on the face of it, you know, like, oh, you know, what is it? But if you... It can be quite disheartening, especially when you're coming away from something you loved so much. Do you know what I mean? It's a massive part of your life and your journey. And you're kind of not erasing it, but you're not giving it its due, I suppose. That's the kind of thing.
Absolutely.
It's quite tragic in a way.
It is. It's sad. But I think I've heard this from people that just go traveling as well, like not just yachts, but people that go off and do like traveling. They come home and they kind of feel a bit lost when they get back to their friends, because nothing's changed for their friends, but so much has changed for the individual. So, yachting definitely has that. And like you say, it's actually quite tragic, because you spend so many years as well gaining valuable experience and, well, stories as well. And then I think that's why I was quite excited to be asked to go on this, because I was like, oh, I can speak freely about it.
Well, it's I've covered it so many times, you know, it is one of those things that women don't understand. It's part of leaving, that you kind of end up editing yourself. And I'm pretty sure that it's probably the same for people that have left the military and things like that. Like, you can only understand what it's like to be in the military if you're in it. You know, it is a very unique experience. It's a lifestyle. It's all of those things. And I imagine people in the military probably feel slightly similar. You know, you have, as individuals, when you work in these environments, your own banter, you know. You know, there's language that we won't even think about that we use on board, which people on land wouldn't have a clue what you're talking about. Which can be quite off-putting as well, when you catch yourself using terminology and phrases or cracking a joke and you're like, everybody's just looking at you going,
so true.
Psychologically, that also plays a big part in the adjustment. Like, I've got a lady called Emma coming on, who lives in London. She left the industry and set up Living Organised. And she gets, you know, women that are coming out of the industry that want to earn a bit of cash, obviously, you know, around London area. I just wanted to go and work for her, because basically that's a real opportunity to just get together as like girls would have on board, and you clean house or help someone move house. And I'm like, actually, that sounds quite fun. You know, a bit of dance while you're putting stuff together.
And,
you know, that camaraderie. You could experience that again. And when she was obviously she's coming up in a future episode, I'm like, I would have loved to have done that. And I think that probably would have, you know, but that's a really random thing to say. I would quite like to go and clean with a bunch of girls.
It's that camaraderie and that, like you said, banter. You definitely miss that. Definitely do. So, yeah, that was hard for, like, coming out. And I think that's what drew me back. And obviously the work, I mean, the money, should I say. I also did a catering company. So I tried to start a catering company with my sister and my mum. And it was brilliant, really successful, but it was a labour of love. The money just, it was really hard to get it off the ground. So after that, I went into private housing. So I went to be a chef in a private house in Henley, and I was there for a long time. I was there for a couple of years, and I really loved it. Really great experience. Very much, what I was used to with the yachting world. It was that kind of clientele, and loved it. But then
Henley's
I
beautiful. Like, I went there for the regatta thing. It is lush around there.
Have you done the
Like,
festival, the our Revival Festival in Henley?
no.
Oh, if you ever get an opportunity, it is brilliant. So much fun.
No.
So much fun. Have a look into it. Yeah, sorry, I digress. Yeah, so I was chefing in Henley, loved it. Bought my little house in Reading. And then I rekindled things with my now husband. And I wanted to start a family. And he was like, "We haven't really got the money, Lorna." And I was like, "I can get money. I'll go back yachting." So I
Money's
did.
no
So I went
problem.
back. I was like, "Money's not
No.
an issue." So I did. I went back for another year and got all the money for like a bigger house deposit and yeah, just to pay
Wait,
for things.
so your other half was on board as well?
No. He's a fireman in
Yeah.
London. So he stayed behind. I think it was hard, but we made it work.
He's a fireman. Is he still a fireman in London? Oh, you've got a thing for uniforms. I get it. I get
Yes, I do. I mean, I've got a thing for just him in his uniform, I should say. I forget it's being recorded.
your shoulder. See, in my head, it sounds really idyllic. We've got like a little fire station down the road where we live, and they were doing a car wash, and I was like, "Yes, let's get the car wash and donate." The oldest goddamn fireman in the world. Like, I was like, is this a retirement, a retired fireman car wash? This is not
Yeah.
what I thought it was going to be. The guys that do the calendars, where are they?
You know what? As soon as you said car wash, I was like, I know exactly. I can picture it already. I can see exactly what that was. I can just say that my husband is quite hot, actually. You would want to be rescued by him.
Congratulations.
Thank
Oh,
you.
that's
I
nice.
feel quite proud.
I would. Well, considering what I've just seen at our local one, like, pff, I don't know. Fine, you can throw me over your shoulder, but is it going to hurt your back? I don't know.
Should I get you over mine?
It's okay. I can walk. It's fine. Like, I'll help you down the stairs.
Oh
Yeah,
dear, it's
very
funny.
disappointing. Hopefully, they'll do some new recruitments soon. Oh, so a fireman. So was he okay with you, going on boats? Did he understand what it was,
We
or?
met each other a long time ago. So we met when we were 18, and we went out with each other then. And then we kind of broke up and stayed in contact. And I kept telling him to come on yachts. So I was like, you've got to come on yachts. You've got to come on yachts. And he never did. Because we stayed friends throughout the whole time. But he was destined to be a firefighter. He'd always wanted to be one. So that was his thing.
Oh.
So yeah, he did know. And I don't think he was happy about it. But I don't think he had a choice, if I
No,
decided to go back, I decided to go back. So,
well, you've got to do what you want to do. Like, if you want a house, it's all pretty expensive,
this is
Even
it.
back, I don't know how long you've owned your house, but it's only
No,
getting
it
more
was at the
expensive.
time, it was relevant, and it was expensive. I don't know how people do it without going into yachting, I'll be honest.
Well, obviously the salaries and stuff, like the reports coming out, boats are being a bit tight again.
Oh,
I've
you're
not observed.
joking.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me feel happy I'm not
Especially
in that
like
industry
the lower levels, it's always, the junior stews and stuff like that, and
anymore.
deckies. Just,
Not
this
fair, is it?
it's not really considering. I mean, I spoke to somebody the other day and they're still 30 something days leave. I'm like, who is that even legal still? Like, even back in
It's
my day,
mad.
it was 5-1. I thought that was horrendous,
Yeah.
but some boats are still offering like 1 month, 1 month out of a
That's
year.
mad, isn't it?
When we've obviously made it very clear that that's probably a bit too much,
Yeah.
work. for somebody to do, even if they're young, you know.
That's it.
It is. 5'1" is bare minimum. Anybody who's listening to this, if you're not on a 5'1", get off that boat. That's bare
Absolutely.
Minimum. You know, I mean, rotation didn't exist when I was on board, you know. But at least
No, I don't it even on my last boat I didn't get rotation when I was leaving, but you definitely weren't worked as hard. But I remember when I first joined, it was 30 days holiday and it was a terrible wage.
Terrible wage.
But at the time I was like, I've got to get my foot through the door. This is it. And you do. Which is terrible because it just lowers the standard for everybody, which is not right. So I'm not recommending that.
No, no. So
yeah,
you bought a house, you live in the dream. So what were you going to do as a job? Did you have?
So I bought a cleaning company before I left. So I bought a cleaning company in London with my first couple of wage packets when I went back to yachting, so that I was like preparing myself to leave. Mm-hmm. And I dealt with it while I was on board. So I was like a chief stew and owning this company, which was actually mental. But it was, you know, it was really good. It was working and it was enough for me to come home to and have a wage still. So then I came back and then COVID hit. And literally, I mean, the one thing we couldn't do was see each other. So I couldn't have my cleaners go into people's houses. It was just horrific.
It just wiped your business out completely in one stroke.
We continued to keep going. We managed to like get through it. And I sold the cleaning company last year, actually, which was really good. But it was definitely something just to get me through maternity, get me back to land. I hated it. And I take my hat off to all these women that come on your like podcast who have got businesses, because, oh, it's not for me. Sunday night, the amount of calls I'd get to be like, someone was sick or someone was, you were never off the clock. You are always working when you've got your own business. And yeah, I didn't see it as freedom at all. It felt like I'd gone from.
It's not for everyone. I mean, I've spoken, and this is the thing with women that are coming ashore, you know, you are in the prime, you could be in a prime position to take on or create a business. Don't get me wrong. You know, you've got nothing else. Mm. You know, you are literally a blank slate most of the time.
Yeah.
But what I think a lot of women don't understand or aren't really aware of, that, you know, owning your own business is basically, you know, it's like being a cap. You don't get to switch off ever.
This is it.
My husband runs his own business, has done. It encroaches on everything, every family holiday. It's not like being an employee. And for some people that works, you know, if it's a passion project. Having now spoken to hundreds of women that have started businesses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If it's a passion project that really lights you up, then for sure, you know, it could definitely be the right path for you. But what I'm discovering after talking to women is you come from an intense team player environment. It's not the same, you know, and you don't have the support as a business owner. A lot of the time it's just you and you're making the decisions and do you know what I mean? So it can be a real struggle.
Yeah. And you put everything like you've saved up from yachting as well. Like you put all that money into it as well. It's such an investment that you just have to make it work. And it's just such a pressure. And I just think after such a intense career in yachting to go into something intense again, for me, this is all just my own personal opinion on having my own business. It was very intense and not at all the break that I needed after yachting.
And also you're having children at the same time. It's not probably an ideal combination, very intense work with raising a human being. You know, they kind of sabotage each other. I mean,
very intense.
Before this recording, we spoke for a long time about, you know, where women are at. You know, we are the generation that were promised you can have everything, but you have to work like you don't have children, and then you have to raise children like you don't work. Yeah. It's impossible. So women really, again, have these huge decisions to make about themselves and what, you know, where their compromise is.
This is it.
But I think our environment at the moment is too heavily focused on career because obviously the cost of living and everything else. I think society is really putting down children and having children. It is hard, and obviously there's no cash reward from having a child.
No.
But you shouldn't be looking at them as an either or. You should, do you know what I mean? They should be on an equal path. Should be able to have,
yeah, exactly.
And, you know, as we both said, motherhood is incredible. You know,
it is, it really, absolutely. And I'm so glad, so glad that I did have the opportunity to do it, and I wouldn't obviously change it for the world at all. And like that cleaning company, I can't knock it because it got me through. It paid bills. And the fact that I didn't love it was actually probably a good thing because I got to care more for my little girl, my little boy. So that helped. But I remember, so how I got to work for Computer Network Defence, I was, I hadn't looked at my LinkedIn for ages. I hadn't looked at it at all. And I was literally sat breastfeeding at the computer. And I opened my LinkedIn just to have a look because I was like, I'm so over this cleaning company. Anyway, I saw an email from somebody from CND. And it, because on my profile, I was a yacht stewardess, or I was a chief stew on there. They were like, the message was, hi, Lorna, we're looking for an ex-yachtie who can help us with some land-based work. And I was literally like, my baby like, I'm a yachtie? I'm an ex-yachtie? I'm land-based? So I just sent back and said, well, I am, but I'm not at all. I don't know anything about cybersecurity. How can I help? You know, what can I do? I know about yachts, so what can I do to help? And then they sent me through this job spec and said, why didn't you consider applying? So I went through this job spec and it was about cybersecurity. And I remember like telling my family, I was like, I might go for this job in cybersecurity. And my brother's like really high up in cybersecurity. And he was like, what? He was like, no, Lorna. And I was like, well, I don't know. I was like, they need an ex-yachtie. I said, I'm not quite sure what it's about, but I might as well go for it. I mean, it's not, you know, a bit of fate that has come to me. And I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, I still had a 9-month-old at that point. And then, yeah, I went through the interview process, which was really grueling as well. It was actually quite an intense, like you had like 4 people, you had to do a presentation, you got given a brief.
What was the presentation on? Because I always hated those, like, do a presentation on yourself. I'm like, oh no.
Oh no, it wasn't on, it was on like a technical, like it was just, how would you, it was something to do with yachting and cybersecurity. I can't actually remember exactly what the question was, but it was daunting, don't get me wrong. But I tell you what, I flipping researched it. I was like, I practiced my presentation so much. I really didn't think I was going to get the job. But I thought, well, you know, I'll use this as practice anyway for the next few interviews that I do. But the more I was doing my presentation, the more I was like researching and planning and everything, the more I wanted it. And I was like, this is so out of my league, but I'm going to go for it. And even my child, like Elodie, she was sick that morning. So I had to get like my husband's uncle to come round, and he just walked the pram up and down the road while I was doing my interview. It was just so many things were not meant to go right. But I had my interview and yeah, it went really well. And then I did another one and then I got offered the job. And yay. Now my boss tells me I was like the wild card. Like he was like, you're just this random person that they were like, I don't know, put her in. And actually, yeah, I got the job. Yeah, yeah. So it was really good. So, and that was 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, I think now.
You think, you know, obviously with yachting, so like when you join a new boat, you just get stuck in. That's what you have to do. You have to just, you know, sometimes, I mean, I joined a couple of boats like mid-charter, like you literally are in. Shorts on, t-shirt on, right, where's the laundry, crack on kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do you think a business, obviously not having initially any real experience hiring ex-yachties, could be quite surprised on how it's the can-do attitude, you know?
That's it. And it was like I said to you before, like my boss, when I asked him about doing this podcast, doing this episode for you, he said, make sure you let them know that he wants to employ yachties because he really likes like the attitude that we bring, and it is that can-do attitude, and it is very much like we just get things done. I mean, since I've been employed now, we've got 3 more yachties, and he's so pleased with them, and everyone in the company I think is pleased, and it is that transfer of skills. Like, we are problem solvers, we're absolutely yeah. natural problem solvers, and we just get stuff done, and that's great.
It is, that's obviously one of the things we've talked about quite a lot, about trying to get across what we're capable of. You know, when you put down on the CV, it's kind of like what we did, but really you should kind of, it's like our approach and how we did it is more what you need to focus on when you're looking at a CV. Because I also think with ex-crew members, you focus on too much on the detail of the job in trying to explain, and it's not. It's more the attitude. And I think, you know, even with, what are they called? Gen Zers and stuff that Gen are working on board. No, you know, they get a really bad rep on land, to be fair. But even them pushed through the yachty process, if they've survived on board, they'll come out with a work ethic that's probably quite unusual for their generation, because it is an all-encompassing experience. You have to work a certain way.
That's it. And I think the one thing that has really helped with myself being in tech, like I said to you, I'm not a techie person at all. But one thing I like to pride myself on is I do have emotional intelligence. And so when I'm networking, it's so much more like it feels natural for me to just go and strike up a conversation with whoever in that networking room. And, you know, generally people that go into tech like to be behind the screen, like to not have that interface. So I'm an anomaly really in that whole situation. But it's what creates business as well, because I get in front of the people, I talk to people. I'm absolutely not tech, and I make that very obvious to start. Like I say, oh, I'm not technical, but behind me I have a team of very, very clever people, and they're so supportive. But I've made that interaction, and that's where, you know, I also don't speak geek. So like when people are telling me their problems, it's in layman terms, and then I'll go back and say it to the team behind, and then they understand how to sort it out. And I think that
you're
comes
like a
from yachting.
You're a translator.
I translate Greek. Greek? Geek. Not Greek. I am, though. But it's true, and it's so powerful. And I think that is generally from the amount of times that you go to the end of the Passau, or there's, you know, like in Cannes Film Festival, you never know who's coming on board, and you're just like, hi, how are you? It could be massive top dog producer, or it could be someone's security guard. You don't know, but you treat them the same, and you
to the you point where you have don't that care level. Who they are.
I'm like, okay, look, how long am I gonna be awake for?
Do you need a drink? Make sure your shoes are off, you know, like,
yeah.
Hi, literally. Not interested in your life story at all. Do you want a drink?
That's it.
I actually think, to anybody who's on board and is listening to this, that you being able to approach human beings is now becoming a key skill that people will pay for. Because, and I use as a prime example, I'm trying to do some marketing stuff for my husband's business, and I'm trying to talk to these creative people, and they keep emailing me. I'm like, can we just book the call and then we can chat about it? No. Before we do the call, can you send me this, 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 and this? I'm like, yeah, but I could just tell you, like, just book the call. Yeah. No, but just to make sure that we can prepare. I'm like, you're not going to prepare anything, because this is the initial bit. Just talk. And I'm just, you know, people keep talking about it. Especially when they're talking about Gen Z and stuff like that, and the COVID effect. You know, you've got a whole bunch of teenagers that would have had their prime exposure to the working world kind of stopped Do you know what I mean? And it hasn't gone back to full, like the full experience of what we went through, you know, as youngsters. So, you know, Yachties are just going to, you're going to get more and more valuable as long as you, do you know what I mean? Like, absolutely. Just having that skill to be able to talk to a human being, who would have thought it?
It's mad, isn't it?
Becomes an asset. Do you know what I mean? Just not being afraid to just go, hi, do you want a drink?
Like, this is it. But I also think, like, another thing you really gain from yachting is reading the room. So, like, you're obviously, these people are going on their private yachts to relax, to take time away, to have a holiday. Anything can happen. So, you know, they could have an argument with their family. They could, I don't know, flirt with someone or whatever. It's knowing that when you go into that room to either offer a drink or offer your service or whatever, clean something up, it's knowing how to kind of be like a wallflower and read the room and be like, okay, there's some tension going on. I'm just going to back out. Yeah. They've seen me, so they know if they need a drink. But also, some families might want you to be the life and soul of the party. So, you know, you've got to come in and be like,
hi,
you know, get the energy going and be like, wah, wah, wah. So, yeah, it's, and I think that is another key to, like,
amount of times you walk into the main salon and there's kind of this weird vibe and you're like, anyway, and then they look to you for to diffuse the weird tension. Oh yeah, no, I'll have a drink. They probably didn't even want a drink, but they were like, oh no, just talking, and you know, oh yeah, what have we got for dinner? Yeah. Where are we cruising tomorrow? Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to lean into that, you know, to have, like you said, the emotional intelligence to go, oh, okay, well, they, you know, I obviously want to chat because he doesn't want to talk to that man anymore because he doesn't actually like him. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that, how do you put that on a CV?
This is what I mean.
This is really, really hard. And like, obviously, I've said on many episodes, we are badass at a lot of things, but they're not really, I don't know, maybe the world is changing because everybody's thinking about things in a lot more detail. So when you start saying, you know, put on your CV, I have insane emotional intelligence, you know, it could backfire wildly, but
take a full advantage of.
They're like, go and talk to these assholes, you know, it's all you. but you know, it's, you know, we are really capable. You know, you could be dealing with a situation on board which is akin to your local boozer when people are like hammered and just really awkward, and do you know what I mean? Or like you said, you could end up being counselor to somebody who's crying on the aft deck. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
The spectrum is vast. You know, in between solving problems to make sure you've got the party with 100 people with no ice and all of
it. See, this is the conversations I couldn't have with like friends back at home, because they'd be like, what? And I'd be like, whereas I'm talking to you and I'm like, it makes sense.
Yeah, no, you just, you know exactly what I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And you walk out of a boat jumping onto a boat, they're like, it's just a temp gig. And I was like, it's just a temp gig. I'll just go on and like get on there, like, right, we've got a party with 50 people. Like, okay, where's the wine? Oh no, we haven't got any yet. Like, what? So there's me.
Oh, it gives me like palpitate. I'm like, oh.
Me and another girl going with like four like wheelie trolleys. Well, we had to buy two others to then try and ram as many bottles of Prosecco and other things to then wheel it back.
My God. Like, in a foreign country, and you know, you just.
It was like Italian ran. They were like, we're gonna do this. I'm like, great. And it's such an Italian attitude. Like, for me, it's okay. I'm like, yeah, but you still need to go get the things. This is Monaco Yacht Show. Everybody's busy. If I call the provider, they're gonna go, you know, maybe next week, or it'll cost you $20,000. You know what I mean? So like, it just cracks me up.
I remember getting, we went to Cannes Film Festival and one of our guests specifically wanted like sugar-free Red Bull, and obviously Cannes Film Festival, none of the shops had anything. We were like going boat to boat with like 500 euros, being like, can we get three cans? Just anything. We were like, this is just madness. But we problem solved. We did it. We threw money at it.
The thing is, if you were walking around shops and stuff like that, they'd be like, what are you talking about? But if you go to the back of the boat and say, don't ask, just have you got sugar-free apple? And they go, yeah. We understand your pain here. Have a case.
Down into the bilge they go. Yeah.
True though, it is true. But like you said, these stories are only funny to us.
This is it. This is it. Everyone else are like, no, that didn't happen. I'm like, well, okay.
It did, but anyway, it did. So your boss has completely embraced the ex crew members. You know, you've gone from here. You must have done a good job because he's hired more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, by me going on maternity was also very helpful. I think it was actually a management company that told him to go down the route of reaching out to crew, because basically we'd worked with Maritime since a long, long time, but it was a super yacht fleet that came to us, and it was the hierarchy they didn't understand. And that's why it sounds so silly, but like little things, like he didn't know who he was talking to, so he'd be talking to the management, and I'd be like, well, have you spoken to the engineer, because he's the one that's going to sign off on. And they're like, well, why wouldn't the captain? I'm like, well, the captain will, but the engineer will have to have the information to give to the captain. And it's all those tiny bits of information that are key to being able to give a good service to a yacht. And like little and things also, like, yeah.
Sorry, like, and also not flinching when they're kind of like, okay, go ahead. And then like, it's the family office that is paying for it. Do you know what I mean? Like all of the, you know, don't be surprised it, you know, where the money comes from.
That's it, exactly. And also, you know, like the fact that they might leave port in an instant and you've got to change tack, and it's little things like that where our land-based clients, that's never going to be the case, you know. So just having someone know that or, you know, like the rotation, you know, doing training for crew but knowing that they're going to rotate in two months time and you're going to have to redo that training, and it's little things. And it's been very helpful. But one of the biggest tasks I had when I first joined was just to talk about a day in the life of me as a yachtie. And I remember saying to my boss, like, this is years ago as well, and I'm absolutely not this like stupid now, but when we used to come into port, the main thing we would do on our boat was, because we didn't have like, you know, amazing systems back then, it was just like normal laptops, we'd take our hard drive full of movies and we'd pass it along the port to all the other yachts, and we'd take their hard drive and like get all new movies for the boat, and then we'd leave port and we'd have a whole, I don't know, 100 new movies, and everyone would be really happy. And I remember telling my boss, and he was like, you did what? And he was like, you put in somebody else's hard drive into the system of the boat, no questions asked. And I was like, yeah, like didn't bat an eyelid. And he was like, okay, right, okay, this is good. What else, Lorna, tell me more. This is it. And the thing is we weren't trained as crew on anything about cybersecurity or how systems were connected to the internet or how people could move naturally.
To the internet. You know, back in my day, you only got the internet when you were in port.
This is true.
And if there was internet on the boat while you were out at sea, but probably only a few miles off, it was only for the owner, the guests, and the captain. They didn't let us use it. You know, it was, you know, the amount of times I'm in the bloody laundry ironing and then I was like, oh, yes.
For 5 minutes.
Like some messages have come through because we're passing some point somewhere and it's managed to pick up an answer.
You'd be like, Mom, I'm alive. And then she wouldn't hear from you for another 4 days.
No, it's not. It wasn't the thing, you know. We didn't have the internet. You know, it wasn't a thing. I remember one boat we worked on, the engineer, we'd all left. The boat had turned into an absolute nightmare. And this guy took it over was saying that he was being hacked by the Americans and it got into his yacht. And we'd left that boat. The engineer was like, that's impossible. That system was so old. He's talking absolute rubbish. Like, you can't connect into that boat because they never updated anything anyway. You're better off going in there with a pen and a pencil.
But yeah, no, it's totally different though now. Nowadays, the everything seems to be connected. Everything is interconnected, and yeah, it's very important nowadays. But yeah, back in the day, it wasn't so much, and we weren't
It
trained.
wasn't. It
So.
wasn't. It wasn't necessary because you weren't connected. But it obviously the world is changing. I mean, you know, let's say in the last, don't know, 2 years, Starlink's changed the game again. So obviously went
Yeah.
from like the Vodafone, your traditional settings and all that kind of stuff. Starlink's changed the game again. Like I'm pretty sure, like I've been told they've undercut everybody and
Oh,
and just
really?
taking control. You know, because his satellites are better than everybody else's, I guess. There's more of them. You know, we've got Starlink in our house because BT can't connect to us.
This is
So,
it.
you
This is it. See, so you can't
know.
knock it really if it's working. This is the thing.
No, love him or hate him, old Elon. But it's changing at such a vast rate of knots. I guess you're going to have to be a lot more technical eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, one of the things that C&D is great for is training us. So I'm in more of a de business development role now. So they've kind of moved me onto a side of the business which is using a platform called Splunk, which is a very unfortunate word.
Can you actually say it with a straight face? Do you want to say that loud
No.
for
As soon as it
the
started going into my head, I was like, I can't say this, can I?
listeners? You've got to. Can you just repeat that for the listeners, please? I don't think I heard.
Splunk.
Splunk.
Splunk. So Splunk. So this is what's really funny is obviously like in when I was building up the maritime side of the business, I was going to loads of different events and obviously like Yacht Pearls of Wisdom. It was like women in like yachting and blah, blah, blah. Like we were doing all those events to like promote, you know, ourselves and just figure out what the industry needed. And I remember telling my husband when I came back, I was like, oh, they're going to get me into a different side of the business. I said, I'm going to be looking after the Splunk clients. And Sam was like, I hope you're not going to go to any events with women in Splunk. Was like,
Yes, I
I was like, we need to
really
create them.
want to. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. Pearls of Wisdom partnered with Splunk. I would get everybody's attention in the whole of the industry. The men will not be able to control themselves
This
for
is it.
sure.
I think it's a selling point. I think it's a game changer.
We've got to do it. Next event. 100%. Like, this is what's happening. You honestly, if I start putting that up on social media, your pearls of wisdom in partnership with Yep, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm just, you
Dear.
know, I'll do it at
Wow.
the same time as because we were
Watch
gonna
this space.
we're talking about doing another podcast and calling it Balls of Wisdom in
Oh,
partnership
can I be on that one? Can we sponsor Sponsored by
with
Splunk. Brilliant. Oh,
Brilliant.
dear.
You know, like in this day and age, to get attention, you have like that's bants. As far as I'm
I
concerned, that's
know.
bants on board. And there is loads of bants, and there's loads of different things on board boats that have funny names and stuff like that. So, like for yachties, amazing. Like
They'd love that.
they'd love that for sure. We
Yeah.
don't take life too seriously on board.
This is
You
it. No,
know,
it's
if you
so
didn't
true.
have banter on board, the job would be horrendous. It would
Oh
be
my God, it would be
literally.
the longest of days.
You're like, if you're, I think that's grounds to leave a boat. If you don't have
Oh,
good
absolutely.
banter on boat, like I'd leave because it. And that I think that's common for a lot of people. You know, when the vibe, everybody talks about like the vibe just changed on board. It's like basically some killjoys just ruined everything.
Yeah, that's it. That's it,
Or
a
they.
bad egg. But that can happen in land-based jobs as well, you know. You've
True.
got to
True.
have that fun. But I suppose, like you say, with yachting, it's like 24/7. You.
It's like you got the bants, you know, but it's yeah, it's quite unique on board, but it gets you through some really really tough times.
Long times, yeah. Tough
I'm,
times.
I'm so excited about your new project. Like, I can't splunk it with your pearls of wisdom or
I love this. I knew as soon as I was about to say it, I could feel it bubbling in me that I was like, we're both not going to be mature about this. Like, I hope we're not going to be mature about this.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, we should put labels on bottles and stuff at the next event, you know. Splunk it with us.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, no, so I'm up for it. I really am. Right, so anyway.
Yeah, sorry. I digress completely.
Back to being serious. What three things would you give as advice to either a woman on board or thinking about the industry? Like, what are your three bits that... Yeah, three bits of advice. It could be on board, could be like, what are your takeaways from your time in yachting? It could be about leaving as well.
Okay, three things. First thing that jumps to mind is prepare. If you're wanting to leave, prepare to leave. Don't just leave, prepare. So, and when I say that, I mean save money, either requalify, know where you're going, have somewhere to live, like little things like that. So prepare to leave is like my first one. And that can be done like a year in advance. If you know where you're going, you're more likely to say no to that night out in Monaco or that night out in St. Bart's, and because you've got more focus, you can't start saving your money.
Well, you still go out, but you don't buy the Magnums and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, rein it in a little bit. See whether somebody else buys the Magnum. Do you know what
That's
I mean?
Bang on. That's exactly it. Exactly. My next advice is network. So I would say you never quite know who's going to be important to you later on. So be kind to everyone and network and, you know, really use that, because it's a small industry and that can be detriment to, you know, because you'd be well known, you know, maybe that's not a good thing when you leave, but it's a small industry that could be a real positive. And I'll give you an example. So a couple of years ago, I knew a deckhand from one of the boats. You know, he hasn't done anything out of yachting. He's still doing like a bosun's job now. But at a supper club, he introduced me to somebody he knew, and it was a captain. And now that captain's like one of our clients. And you're just never going to know how that networking is going to work. So I think treat everybody with respect and kindness, because that can really go a long way.
Yeah. And if you go out in Antibes, use an alter ego name if you're getting a bit wild. That's what we did.
That's amazing.
Don't use your name. You know that time in the night where you're like, ooh, this is all getting a little bit... That's when the alter ego names come out.
In Monaco, we never used to say we were yachties. So we didn't just change our name, we changed careers as well. And I remember going out and there'd be like one of the girls and they'd be like, does she also work at the bank? And I'd be like, yes, I do. So bad. And then what's my third one? Travel. Holiday. Take all the holidays. Travel to where you want to go to before you become a parent. You can still do it as a parent. It's just a lot harder and a lot more tiring.
And more expensive.
And loads more expensive.
Also,
it'll be a different kind of holiday.
I mean, I 100% firmly agree with that. If there's stuff on your wish list that you want to go and see, try really hard, especially the obscure ones. Like, I really wanted to go to Peru. There's no way I'd take my daughter to Peru.
No.
You know, even if Paddington does come from there, we're not going.
Such a mum comment. I love that.
It is. Like, no. Like South America in general. just South America in general. And I even, like, I know loads of people take their kids to Asia, but, like, I don't know, maybe when she's a bit older, but not, you know, it's not going to be anytime soon. I'd love to learn the Thailand stuff. or but more barley. I always, because so I always, the Australians say loads of cool things about barley, and I never got managed to get there.
This is it. And like Sam and I, we still, like, on the dark nights and no one's asleep and everyone's poorly, and we, you know, you can reminisce about like holidays we had in Aruba or like Miami, and we're like, oh, thank God we did that. It was so long ago, but that really has helped get through these long nights. So yeah, I just, you know, yeah, do the things you want to do before you become a parent.
Well, as many of them as you can, you know. Unfortunately, with travel, the list only ever gets longer. You're like, ooh, quite nice to go there. But obviously, when priorities change and bank balances change, you can't go that way.
This is it.
Right. Do you have, to finish up, a wild story, an oh God moment from time on board, and you're just like, literally like, what just happened? Can be positive or negative, but you know, whatever springs to mind, a bit of a wild story that only really happens in yachting.
I'm trying to think of something that won't make me lose my current job or break any NDAs. I'm like digging deep here.
How long do NDAs work? They don't last that long. Like, most women on board, they're like, oh, I don't know, NDA. I'm like, you've been out for 15 years. Like,
I know. The only reason I'm saying this one is I actually think this person's passed now, so I feel very safe saying this. So it wasn't like a positive or a negative. It was just a real moment where I was like, whoa. And I think for me, it taught me about intuition. Was I was like a junior stew. So I was doing cabins and laundry, and this one time the guests had sat down for lunch and I was walking on the outside of the boat. And I just managed to like, just like look in at the guests, split second, like nothing too crazy. But in that moment, I saw the madame of the yacht get up from the table, and just something didn't seem right. And I just thought, that's odd. That's really odd. Like, she never leaves a table. She's always very courteous of her guests. So like, to leave in the middle of a meal is just so out of character for her. But I was a junior stew. I was like, that just... But this is out of my realms. So anyway, I went down, took the towels down and did all the cat. And I was still thinking, no, something don't feel right. And I thought, let me go back up. So I went back up and I said to the girl on service, I said, oh, is Madame back at the table yet? And she said, no. And I thought, oh, something, and I don't know why, just something in my heart was like, something's not right. So I thought, well, I'm on cabins. I could easily just, you know, go and check on her, but be doing cabins really, not being nosy. So I knocked and there was no answer. And so I thought, well, I've got towels. Looks like I'm doing cabin, so it's fine. And I went in and I actually found her on the floor in the head. Yeah. And she'd, bless her, been really poorly. And like, she was an old lady. She was like in her 90s. And she'd like, sorry if anyone's eating. She'd like messed herself and everywhere. And like pure instinct, like I just was like, picked her up. Popped her in the shower, washed her down, got her into her pajamas, got her into bed. And like, we didn't talk the same language at all. But I just knew that she was so ashamed as well. And it was so painful for, like, because I didn't know if I was doing too much or because she couldn't even tell me. But I thought, no, if this was my nan or whoever, I'd do this. And it's much better that some, you know, young girl that does her laundry washes her rather than her son's coming in or the captain.
Or bring loads of attention to it and stuff.
This is it. So I put her into bed and I went out and I explained what had happened. And to that day, she was like the best woman I've ever worked for. She was so good. Like with my sister and her son, like when my sister's son was poorly, she flew me home like instantly, private jet back to wherever. She looked after me after that. And she was a really good woman. But yeah, that was my very much my like, that's a moment that stays with me.
This is it. This is the one of the things, you know, when people say, oh, you work on yachts and stuff, they're people.
Absolutely.
They're people, like, and you can show compassion to somebody who's got loads of money or no money, you know. We're all people, and I think it's a, like, you know, you are in their intimate moments. It, like you said, you know, the emotional intelligence comes from your absorbed into their lives for a period of time.
That's it.
But no, that's really, that's actually really nice. Oh,
sorry, I feel like I brought the after bin.
No,
after
like,
talking about the spunk, I bet you didn't see that one coming.
No, I didn't see that. Yeah, that's why I quite like this doing this, because you know it's why it's important to have these kind of conversations. It's the human element. You could literally be dealing with anything. You know,
yeah.
You can go from dealing with prostitutes in Cannes to dealing with an old lady who's fallen in the bathroom. The yeah. spectrum is enormous.
This is it.
Which also, like we've said, makes us super versatile. We've dealt with a whole load of stuff. They should pay us more.
Absolutely. Give us more time off.
They should pay us more forever. Like, even when we leave, there should be a special stew pension.
There like, should. I love that idea.
There should be a
bring that up with Tim.
He finds it hard enough people getting people to pay into pensions anyway.
Oh, I can only imagine.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking to
you.
Oh,
it has.
We can
Thank
chat
you.
For a very, very long time. And there's hope for all of us to work in technology, basically.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of these, I think a lot of companies are catching on, especially ones that are kind of connected to the industry anyway, understanding that we are extremely versatile, top of our game when it comes to customer service. So why wouldn't you want a person like that working in your company? If they can be a bit flexible with families and whatnot. But yeah, it's been a real good insight into what you do. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Obviously, we will keep everybody posted on the Yacht Pearls of Wisdom Spunk It event. Watch out for the social media. I just so want to do it. I just want to force people to say it out loud, especially at shows.
I know. I wonder if I'll ever grow up. Like, I wonder if in a few years' time you'll be like, gosh, she's gone so boring. She says it now and without smiling. I can't even say it now.
I'm just imagining like this women's event, like perhaps like at Monaco with just lots of pink. Are you going to the Yacht Pearls of Wisdom Spunk It event? You know, making everybody say it out loud. To get, you know,
I love
to
it.
Become just like a fabulous and with it on the bottles and everything. Like, anyway, pitch it to the boss.
I'm on it. I'll make notes.
It's been fab having you on. Dear listener,
thank you.
Listening to this episode, I hope you've enjoyed it. There are plenty others for you to dip into. Obviously, like I said, one of the main takeaways, you could work for any company. You know, you're extremely valuable after yachting. If you're out there at the moment trying to work out what to do next, don't have to be the next entrepreneur. You know, you can still be a team player in a different environment. So if you've enjoyed this, there's more episodes. We'll have more on the horizon. But until next time, goodbye.